The Innerbelt Neighborhood Stories Project collects stories from residents who lived in the neighborhoods that were removed by the construction of the Innerbelt Freeway in Akron. This project is part of the City of Akron's efforts to transform the decommissioned section of the Innerbelt Freeway and to document a part of Akron's history that has been largely missing to date. In this segment, Terrence Shelton shares with us what it was like growing up in the neighborhood in a single-parent home. How there was a sense of pride and ownership in the neighborhood, even among the kids in the area, and how the neighborhood provided him with the inspiration to become the active member of the community that he is today.
So my name is Terrence Shelton. I'm known in the community as Kwabena. And I think if I want anybody to know anything about me, I'm the kind of person who loves my community, family, and I spent most of my adult life working with young people, teens, and college-age kids. And so I'm a true entrepreneur at heart, and I just love taking Black Akron to the next level. I'm committed to that as part of my purpose.
That commitment and purpose has led Mr. Shelton to currently work with an organization that is focusing its attention on the neighborhood that still exists around the Innerbelt today.
The Akron Rites of Passage Institute, it's an organization that's committed to the growth, development, and empowerment of African-American community through culture, education, and so forth. And one of the projects that we have going on right now is we call it our Legacy Building Project. And the Legacy Building would be this community center, cultural center and complex for the African-American community. So this project, we're hoping to have this complex up and the museum up and running by 2025, which would be Akron's bicentennial. We're looking to build on a spot on Rose Avenue, right in the heart of the Innerbelt.
To learn more about the work of Mr. Shelton's organization, visit AkronRitesOfPassageInstitute.org. Mr. Shelton is very dedicated to his community, in large part because, as he mentioned, he still lives in the home that he grew up in, just west of the Innerbelt.
So I was born in 1956. I grew up in the house that I'm currently living in now. I moved away just to go to college, and that was in 74. So it's from 74 to 79 is when I came back home. So I've been gone exploring life and growing into adulthood during that period of time. But home would still be classified at the house on 725 Euclid Avenue. And my mom is Dolores Biddings, and she married my dad, Robert Shelton. He was from the east side. He had a big family of eight. She had a big family of eight. And he's deceased, of course. My mom is still alive. She's 91. My sister is Sandra. She's deceased now. My brother, older brother, is Robert, named after my dad. He's deceased now. And I have a younger brother named Edwin through my mom's second marriage. And that husband is deceased, as well as my younger brother. So I'm the last of my siblings left. So I grew up in a single parent home, and that was not by choice. When my mom was 24 years old, my dad was 27, they purchased a home on Euclid Avenue, which is right up the street from my grandma on on Rhodes Avenue. And Rhodes and Euclid. And so when my sister was three at the time, my dad died. She was turned three in December. And my dad died in January. My brother turned two in May, and I was born in August. So my mom was a young mom with a brand new home, three toddlers and infants, all under 3 years old, and had to raise us by herself. And so her sisters really jumped in and supported her in the house. All of them at some point in time came. They lived there. They started their families in our home, moved away. Another one came, started their family, moved away. Another one came, started their family. And so it seems like our house was the jump off for everybody in our family from that point forward.
For Mr. Shelton, as a kid, the neighborhood was fun and exciting with lots to do and explore with no worry of danger.
My earliest memories is being with my grandmother. She stayed on Rhodes Avenue. So right there where the Innerbelt kind of starts right now, corner of Edgewood, she was like the third house from Euclid. And what I remember most is going to the park, going to the zoo. When I say the park, before where the tennis courts are now, right next to that was a park with swings and all that kind of stuff. So she would walk us up there to the park, and we would hang out and get ice cream at the custard stand. Those are like some of my favorite memories. Going down, I remember one time there was a big skating party that was in a tennis court. That was awesome. The older guys, the older teens, they would drag race up and down Edgewood. That was exciting. So our parents didn't know we were down there for that. But we would say we were going to get ice cream, but we knew on Sunday they would be doing the drag race. And when we talk about the ice cream, the custard stand had this lemon custard, man, that was like make you want to swallow your tongue. And so those are some of my favorite memories, man. And then just being safe. I felt safe, man. I can remember walking from Euclid. So my house is three houses on Euclid up past East Avenue. And so I would walk to my grandmother's, go to her sister's house that lived over by Channelwood, which is now Channelwood, Berry Street, and back. That's a long walk for a kid that's under 10 years old. And nobody bothered you. You know, everybody would talk to you along the way. They would ensure that our travels and our journey from one place to the next was safe. People sat on the porch and just kept watch over the neighborhood. And I really didn't want to go anywhere other than to visit my grandma, who was on the east side, my other grandmother, my dad's mom on the east side. You know, the neighborhood was a safe place to be. It was a proud place to be. I remember the stores there going, the ice cream. I can't remember their names, but the ice cream store and the shoe store, the candy store. I remember there was a grocery store that was over there, a couple gas stations. So it was like there was no need to go anywhere because everything was right there.
He also remembers there being an overarching sense of pride in the neighborhood.
The fact that Black people owned stores, that they made you feel good. They knew your family. They knew your family history. You would say your name and it's, oh, you so-and-so's son, or oh, you so-and-so, right? I think the schools that I went to, they were, you know, we sang our school songs with pride. I had Black teachers, you know, coming up in elementary school and in middle school that made me value education. And they just, it's like poured into the history and the culture.
And that sense of pride even extended to the kids in the neighborhood playing sports against the other kids.
I can remember, man, when we would play tetherball. That tetherball was like, was a big deal, you know, and the line was real long to play tetherball. The boys, we would always play basketball. We created our own little basketball thing. In the backyard of where Ed Davis is now, there's a little area behind Ed Davis that was, it seemed so huge and sunk in, and we called it the Dust Bowl. And that's where we used to have our baseball and football games with other streets. You know, they would come and we would compete with them, create our own little t-shirts with jerseys with crayons and magic markers. And it was like a real big deal. So it was competitive, it was fun. And it just made me want people to come, you know, to come and hang out with us, you know, or come and visit Akron. Like my cousins from out of town, they love coming to Akron because, you know, that sense of community and pride was there. Yeah, I think there was this game, the one football game we had, man, it was a big deal. When we played, there was a team from East and Bellevue, that East Avenue and Bellevue. They were like our big competition. Because we all were at the same schools, but they created their own team. We were just Eastern Euclid. And so I remember getting ready to play them, getting our shirts, and my mom fussing about messing up them T-shirts with those markers and crayons. But man, we played. It was just good. I can't even remember who won, but the competition was just so fierce and fun at the same time. And you know, at the end of that, we would go and get, you know, orange drink for like 10 cents for the big old quart, you know, quart container, and cupcakes, candy stuff. And we just laugh and talk about, you know, what had happened. I think it was one time we had, it was kind of like a war. We called it like a war between the kids that lived closer to Krause Elementary School. And they had, this was before the pool was built. And so there was this big old sled riding hill that everybody would come to, and we would slide down that hill. And then down inside the park, we had another hill called Snake Hill inside the park. Man, that was serious. And so we would make go-karts and we would make sleds and stuff like that, had our sleds, and we'd go down Snake Hill. But this one time, the cats that were ended up going to Pook, they were Perkins and Buchtel kind of kids. And they came to take over our field, man. This, how y'all gonna take over our field? So we had these battles, and they were on the hill, so they was throwing the crab apples down at us, man. They was tearing us up. And so I got my cousins and all them. I said, okay, so what we're gonna do? We're gonna put our crab apples on the end of a stick. And we threw them that way, which gave us a little bit more leverage and power. And man, they didn't know how we was getting our crab apples up that hill with such force, man, and we ran them off our park. Yeah, so we was proud. That's not gonna come back no more either. Oh man, but just and see them in school the next day and we laugh about it, and it's just fun, right? And how did y'all get them crab apples up so far? We never told them that we put them on the end of a stick and swirled them up that way, man.
For him, the neighborhood was alive and full of activity that felt like the whole community took part in.
I can remember specific gathering places, like there's a park on Shabandy Hill that sits behind V. Odom. It's a small park, but we would gather there to play softball, basically softball. And everybody would play. Our parents would play. The kids and neighbors would play. And it's funny. The first people who get picked on the team would be our parents, because they could play. They could really play. And then everybody else get picked after that. But I can remember there. I can remember South High Hill, of course, the sled riding. I remember Sam Powell. That was awesome. They should have never torn that down. I remember the African-American Festival, and the parade would come through the neighborhood and would always end up down at the Sam Powell. And there would be just fun vendors and talent shows. Behind the library, it used to be the Wooster Branch Library, now it's V. Odom. So in the area right there behind where the fields are now, the baseball field and all that, there was this big, huge wooden jungle gym kind of deal. It was huge, and it was sand all on the ground, and we just called it Sand Pile. And then they had a little amphitheater behind us there, so that when we would do, shows, bands would come and play there. They would have, like, folks with their family reunions, they would come out and hang there. So it was the big deal. The Sand Pile was the big. In fact, when I graduated from South in 74, our whole class went down. We took our class picture there. But it was just an amazing, amazing wooden jungle gym structure that was put up in our neighborhood that was just powerful. And it also had a little small stage area for bands to come and play. And it's kind of like had a little area, sitting area and all that kind of stuff. And when we would do the African American Festival and parade, it would go through our neighborhood and end up at the Sand Pile.
The Innerbelt Neighborhood Stories are produced by me, Roger Riddle, with additional editing this episode by Flaco Torres. Our executive producers are Liz Agbu of Studio O and the City of Akron. Our music is by Flaco Torres, with additional sounds by Become Stardust. Special thanks to Summer Hall, Caleb Thurman, Dylan Garitano, Mike Meyer, the Ohio and Erie Canalway Coalition, Mary Plazo, and Rebecca Larson-Troyer with the Akron Summit County Public Library, and a very special thank you to the Reconnecting Our Community Advisory Committee.